Well, we got near 100 families here at the church. And if each family, since it's the first of the year, you know, if each family, not individual, let's just say each family, could win one person to the Lord this year, wouldn't that be wonderful? We got 100 families, near 100 families, and if each family, surely, we could win somebody in the next 11 months. Surely, we could do that. As many people as we know, as families, think about that. Think of all the people we're going to be in contact with in the next 11 months. But we'll not be able to count them. More than I can count. Huh? And if we could just win one, wouldn't that be most wonderful? Think about that. That's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look about a lot about that anyway. In the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some things. And tonight, we're still looking at coming fully alive. Now, if you got something to say, you want to add to the brag on whatever, you help yourself. If not, we're going to go right into the teaching tonight.
I have some good news.
Oh, I'll go. And that would be Carolyn's first cousin. Leonard and Margaret Cook's son out of Mount Lookout. All right. Well, let's pray together, and we'll get right into our lesson. Father, we come this evening. Lord, I don't know that there's ever been a more time than now that I feel helpless when I look at the list of souls and needs of health and people that's hurting, and I'm completely helpless. I looked at the two men today, and there was nothing I could do to help them. Try to encourage a little bit and pray with them. But Lord, these are things that you must do. And Father, I call on you tonight because we're a weak and needy people. Our minds are weak and our hearts are weak. And all these old bodies fall apart and disease. And Lord, we just sometimes can't. But you always can. And Lord, I call on you tonight to help us as a church, help us as a family, help us as individuals, as teachers and preachers. And Lord, I pray tonight that we might have a clean heart and a clean mind, that we might be a willing servant. And Lord, that we might be used of you as you see fit, not the way we want, but the way you want. Father, the one thing that we all can do is shine a bright light. And Father, I pray tonight that all of our lights might be shining bright, that people might see that you're real. Father, I pray tonight that we might be a witness, that we might tell what we know, that we might tell what we've experienced, tell what we've seen, tell about the change in our heart. Lord, I pray for our people on this list that's lost. Lord, I pray for the ones we spoke to Monday. Lord, I pray for Glenn tonight. God, I pray, oh God, that you will show mercy upon his soul. Lord, that you would deal with him. Lord, I pray for Ronald Jean. And Lord, I pray for Kenneth. And I pray for young Kenny. God, I pray that you might deal with their hearts tonight. Lord, I pray for Roger. And Lord, we can talk a good talk, but Lord, I pray for their soul tonight. God, I pray for Keith and Brendan. Lord, that you would save them, that you show mercy upon them. Lord, I pray for Carson Haney tonight. I pray, oh God, that you might get a hold of Carson and his wife. And Lord, we'd love to see him here in his church house. Lord, I pray for Butch as well. And Lord, I'm asking you tonight to do a work there. Lord, people, it's not impossible. Lord, it matters not who they are, where they're from. Lord, you can save anybody. You come to save sinners. And Lord, I'm asking you to show mercy. Lord, our town needs mercy. Our town's going to hell. And oh God, I pray for mercy on our town tonight. I pray, God, that they might see the evil of drink. I'm watching our town go down the tubes of being a drunkard town. And oh God, I pray tonight. our county. I see the bragging of the money that the tractor bar gives and how people think it's good. God, I pray that you would shut the tractor bar down, that you'd shut the brewery down, that you'd shut the speakeasy down, that you'd shut the mayor's place plumb down. Lord, I pray that you would convict of those who run it and convict our mayor of sin tonight. I pray. God, I'm asking you to help us. We need you. We call on you tonight to intervene. And Lord, we're not going to quit calling on you. We're going to try our best to trust you. And oh God, have your way, I pray. Speak to our hearts tonight. Cleanse me. May the word of God be real to us this evening. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, let's look. This will be our last. As far as I know, unless the Lord would greatly change our mind, this will be the last message on the theme for this year, although we'll not let you forget the theme. All right. But we'll probably not be preaching on it in this way. Becoming fully alive in 2025. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I don't know about y'all, but I've got to where I love that verse pretty good in the last few weeks, that I might have life and have it more abundant, that it might not be just a mediocre life. I want all of it. I want, you know, you get order a piece of pie, you want ice cream or whipped cream, put anything you can get on it, you know. If you want to, don't matter, get it all. I want everything that the Lord's got. All right, I don't want to be satisfied with just a little. I want that abundant life, all right? Coming fully alive in 2025. Now, I want you to remember these verses. We give them to you Sunday, but I want you to remember them again. John 21:24-25. John is speaking here, and he said, "This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Now, I want to remind you that we don't even comprehend what all the Lord has done, what all he's doing, and what all he can do. We don't even comprehend it. He's bigger than all of that. Man, we had a lesson last week in the college class, and he was just explaining how big God was. And as big as I thought he was, he's a lot bigger than that. I ain't never seen so much stuff in my life about just how big he is. And can I tell you, he's doing more and has done more than we ever give him credit. At the world couldn't even can't contain the books if it was written in a book. Think about that. That's a lot of books, ain't it? Huh? John 20 says this, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." But look at this. "But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." I want to remind you tonight that what we have written in that book is written that we might believe, that we might have life, and we might have life more abundant. That's why we have that Bible. It's not just a book to put in our library, but we have that we might know God. Think about that. It's written that we might know him. Think about that. All right? Now, I believe. Now listen, this is me. Now listen. I believe that the reason we have a Bible, I believe the reason that God did miracles, the reason that Christ came, the reason that Christ did miracles is so that men, women, boys, and girls could and would believe on him and be saved. I believe that's the purpose of everything. Yeah. I believe that. We start learning about the Redeemer in Genesis. Yeah. Yeah. We learn about the Redeemer all the way through 66 books, and the last chapter of the book is given praise to the Redeemer. All right. I believe that's why he came. I believe that's why I have a Bible. Huh? I believe that the reason we have all this is that mankind would have an opportunity to spend eternity with God of their own free will. I do not believe that God has orchestrated it where man does not have a choice. It's not works. I believe man must believe, but I don't believe it to be works. I believe it's by grace through faith, but I believe that man has the ability to reject or accept Jesus Christ. The Bible plainly teaches that it's not God's will that any perish, that all should come to repentance. All right? We know that. The Bible says that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Then he says, whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. I believe that with all my heart. Now, also that the reason for all this is that mankind would choose to love God for who he is, not what prizes he gives. And I believe American Christianity has got us more concerned with prizes than the precious Savior. I believe American Christianity has run because it's not the same in other countries. It's not the same nowhere else in the world. A lot of people argue me about that, even other preachers, but until you go somewhere else and see, we got too much stuff. All right. Now, I believe that God has his own perfect way to see that the knowledge of him is spread through the world. I believe that. I believe he's got his way. There's nobody's way but his way that's going to work. And for him to get the knowledge of him spread, I believe he uses these ways here. I believe we can find it simply in the Bible. I believe we can find it through creation. Now we know, we've read Romans enough, chapter 2 of Romans, about the nature itself, the conscience of man, and the Bible even speaks, does not nature itself teach you this and that. We see the stars in the heaven. All of these things speak to us. They're preachers. You read your scripture, it'll talk about the stars and everything being ministers and being speakers and all these things, telling us that even creation itself will tell an unsaved world that there is a God. Can I tell you that even these people that they'll find in these jungles that have not been around civilization as we know it, when the missionaries go there, they're worshiping something. What told them to worship? What had them to worship? God, that's the way God made us. And they know good and bad. They know that lies are wrong. They know that murder's wrong. They know that adultery's wrong. Even in these jungles that don't wear no clothes and eat people. Think about that. They know that lying and stealing and murder and adultery is wrong. Now, how would they know that? Think about that. I've listened to missionaries talk about when they went they was trying to explain to them about being lost and everything, and they admitted and said, well, I'm not a murderer, but he was. You know, I don't lie, but she does. And I mean, they was pointing fingers and they couldn't understand one bit of English. All right, so what told them that? Well, I believe creation tells us more than we realize. And I think we forget that the Holy Ghost of God is present, and his duty and his job or his purpose was to convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he does a work that we don't see going on. Huh? Think about that. So I see creation, he uses creation. And of course we know that Christ came. That Christ's coming was from Genesis chapter 3, if we look at it in that respect, of just a Redeemer, from Genesis chapter 3 on, that Christ came. When the wise men came, who told the wise men to go to Bethlehem? Did the star say, hey guys, y'all go? See, we say that there's three. The Bible don't say there was three wise men. They could have been 200 wise men. Do you know that? There was only three gifts brought. The number of men was not given. They didn't travel in ones and twos and threes. They traveled in hundreds, fifties, and hundreds in that day. So they could have been 100 people come. All right? But we've got it narrowed down to 3, and they was all at the stable. Well, they wasn't born in the stable. Bible don't say that. All right? Don't say that 3 and 3 wise men didn't come for some time, and they come to a house where he was at. See, we don't even know what our Bible says, but we let songs and poems and cards and home interior dictate to what we are as a Christian. Okay? But to get the knowledge of him, he uses the Christ. That this is the Christ. Huh? He had a whole nation looking for the Christ. For thousands of years, he had a whole nation looking for the Christ. Think about that. Huh? And then the cross. Huh? The cross has been an emblem of what God has done ever since the cross. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." And he was speaking of his death on the cross. That he would draw all men. All men. That means all men. That all men would be drawn to the cross that they might see that he died in their place and paid their sin debt. See? This is God. Everything you're going to find is going to point to knowing more about God, getting saved, spending eternity with him. Then the church. The purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to house a believer. Yeah, we can say that. To be a feeding trough for the believer. Yeah. To be a hospital for the believer. Yeah. But also to be a light that would send out missionaries or preachers or those who would take the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. The purpose of the church, that it might edify itself in love and grow up into him, that we all might be one as one army moving for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the last thing that we have here that he uses is Christians. Me and you. He uses us to get the gospel, to get the knowledge of Jesus Christ out. See something today. We see that you are the best Christian that some people know. You are the best. If you say, "I ain't no count," you're the best at some know. Think about that. All right? Everybody still with me? Now, when we think of this life we have been given, this abundant life, this fully alive life, then we're going to have to look what we need to do with it. Now we're going to challenge you tonight. We're going to give this to you as the last. It's going to be a challenge in a sense. It's going to be knowledge, of course, but it's going to be a challenge. And there's 3 things that we have here tonight. Now there's probably more. We could put a lot more probably on it. But 3 simple things tonight that we need to do with this fully alive life. Coming fully alive in 2025, there's 3 things. There's 3 things that we need to get involved in. All right? Everybody with me? Let's see what it is then. Well, it said worship and witness and wait. All right? Let's look here at John 15:4-5. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." All right. Now this full life, we're going to have to abide in Christ. Yeah. Being fully alive is not some supernatural thing that's going to happen today. It's not a second work of grace. It's not a gift. It's abiding in Christ that full abundant life is free inside of us. Everybody with me? Yeah. Everybody understand that? Now, we're not going to bear fruit of ourselves. It's going to have to be the fruit of the Lord. All right? Now, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, all of these things I've been preaching this month, we cannot do by ourselves. We can't take away the stone. We can't take off grave clothes. We are unable to do anything by ourselves because we're weak. We have issues. We have problems. But can I tell you, with Christ, we all can do what the Bible says we can do. All of us can live this fully abundant life. But we're going to have to want to. We're going to have to desire. And then we're going to have to abide in Christ. Now, let's look first at worship. Now, we can probably be here for months and months, and we can sit and discuss and argue and this and back and forth. But we're going to look at some simplicity in worship. Now, I look here. I see white hair, gray hair, black hair, red hair, no hair. That's what I see here tonight. All right, I see skinny, I see chubby, I see tall, I see short. We're all different. All right, I see young, I see middle-aged, I see old. We're all different. All right, I see coal miners, I see loggers, I see coal miners, I see doctors, I see printers, I see coal truck drivers, machinists, I see everything, policemen, I see everything here tonight that you can imagine. We're all different. We're all different. I see some from Braxton County, some from Clay County, some from Fayette County, some from Nicholas County, huh? We're all different, right? But it don't matter when it comes to this word. It don't matter. Because there's only one way to worship. The Bible says in John 4, Jesus said if you worship, you're going to have to worship in spirit and truth. You're going to have to do that. Okay? So we know that. So I didn't even use that verse tonight. So let's look. Worship, what's it say? It says to adore. All right? Now, I can turn around and ask you, do you adore the Lord? I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to challenge you to worship. Yeah. Now, if you're going to worship, you're going to have to adore Him. And you're going to have to pay Him divine honor. And you're going to have to reverence Him with supreme respect and veneration. All right? And that's just more adoration. And that's just more. Excitement, I reckon, or more. It's just more, that veneration is just more adoration. To respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence, to honor with extravagant love. You know, I was just reading today, and that extravagant love. Now, you can look up love, and you look up extravagant. But I looked up extravagant love on the computer, and it come up, and it showed me that it's almost wasteful. It's loving somebody so much that to others it seems like you're wasting what you're giving. You're giving them so much. That's extravagant love. It's like you're not just showering them with gifts, you're bringing truckloads. It's not just a bunch of flowers, but it's tractor and trailer loads of flyers. It's not a smooch. It's a hug and kiss all over. I mean, it's more than you can even describe to where people would say, well, that's wasteful. And the dictionary I was reading gave an example of Mary when she poured the alabaster box open and when she poured the oil out. And they said, could we not have done this and fed a lot of people, give to the poor? They thought it was wasteful, but it was her worship. Are you following me? That's what that extravagant love is. All right? Is everybody with me? Extreme submission as a lover. To perform acts of adoration. To perform religious service. Huh? I'm challenging us tonight to worship, to understand worship, and to be willing to worship Him for who He is, just because He's God, huh? Just because He's God. To adore, to worship with profound reverence, to address with exalted thoughts by prayer and thanksgiving, to pay divine honors to honor as a God or as divine, to love in the highest degree, to regard with the utmost esteem, affection, and respect as the people adore their prince. If you lived in England and had a king and a prince, you would bow when they walked in the room. You would bow. You wouldn't look them in the eye. You wouldn't approach them without permission. You wouldn't speak to them without permission because of they're such in an exalted place. But God Almighty is in such a more exalted place. But we have access because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not counted as a servant, but a son. And the family's allowed to go in. And I can worship. Think about that. To adore. To have extravagant love. That's worship tonight. Genesis 22. It's where you find worship for the first time in the Bible. Genesis chapter 22. Now we know this story of Abraham and Isaac. But let's read it here real quick. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. First place that worship is mentioned in your Bible. Okay? Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to tell you. The reason that is laid out like that. Okay? The reason it shows us this. There's more than just the story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac. It's deeper than that. And we're not going to try to give you everything tonight. But we see Abraham demonstrating the way we come to God and worship. The first thing he done, he fully trusted. He fully trusted. Now, we know the story. Abraham and Sarah were barren. They didn't have no children. He's 100, and Sarah 90. They have a baby. It's a precious young'un. Call him Isaac. They're so happy. He starts growing up. Now, this is not a 5-year-old toddler that they sacrifice. This is probably one that's coming up to teenage years. All right? Me and the lad. Not me and the baby, but me and the lad. Okay? Now, when we think about that, we think about David being a ruddy lad who slew Goliath. So we're looking about that age. Everybody understand? So you take a son of that age, and it's his only son. Even though he had Ishmael, this is his promised son. And God said, take him up there and kill him. And Abraham didn't say, wait a minute. He fully trusted him. He fully trusted him. He believed the promise. What promise? When God told Abraham before he had Isaac, that I will multiply thy seed as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the heaven. Abraham believed him then, and he didn't even have a kid. Are you following me? And then he was concerned with God's wants before his own. We're not going to come to God wanting our way and worship our way, and we're not going to come to God halfway and not believing Him or trust Him. Can I tell you why we don't worship the way the Bible lays it out? Is because sometimes we don't trust Him. Sometimes we don't believe His promises. Sometimes we're too concerned about our wants before His wants. I don't know that I could sacrifice my son. I don't know that I love the Lord enough. I don't know. I've not been asked to do that. I don't know if I could give up either one of my boys or my grandchildren if God said, go sacrifice them. I don't know. I'd have to wait and see. I'd have to for him to tell me to do it. But Abraham loved him enough with that extravagant love that the very thing that he wanted all of his life he had, and God says to get rid of it, to go kill it. And he never questioned him because he believed God. And that's what the Bible says in Romans, that he believed God and it was counted for him righteousness. His faith was that great. Can I tell you, I believed him. I believed him to save me. I believed him, and because of my faith, I was counted righteous. Is that not true? Is that not true about you?
Yes.
But yet sometimes I don't fully trust him. And I think that's sometimes why our worship don't come out. Because we don't fully... Is everybody following me? See, I believe there's a great truth there. There is something when you study your Bible about the law of first mention. If it mentions it first, it don't never change its meaning through the Word of God, if I'm correct. That's the law of first mention. Whatever the truth you find, the first place you find it, it'll never be a different truth at the end of the Bible.
Right.
And this is the first time you find worship, and it's like that all the way through. Are you following me? Everybody understand what I'm saying? We all know how to praise the Lord. We do a lot of that, and the Bible tells us to, huh? But I'm afraid that our praise today, anyway, and I'm not saying everybody's, I'm speaking generally, I'm afraid that our praise is based mainly on what he gives us, not who he is. Worship is who he is. He tells us to do this. Yeah, he does tell us to praise, but he tells us to worship him also. Now, this is just for your knowledge, won't just for a blessing. If you want a good blessing, you want to learn how to worship a little bit, won't you go ahead and look up in Psalms every time he says, praise the Lord, and you're going to find that in 132 verses, it's in there 160 times, and you're going to find that most of them, it's about who he is, not what he gives. And the time you read all of them, 160 praises, you'll probably go into worship and not even realize it if you look them all up at one time. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? It'll probably just get you right in there. Everybody understand what I'm saying? I just want to encourage you a little bit there. All right? Look at Psalms 29 verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Huh? Psalms 95, 1 through 7. And this is one of them examples. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. See, we're bragging on him and what he is, who he is. And he made it, and his hands formed a dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice, can I tell you, praise is like this. But worship is bowed down and exalting him and bowing ourselves down and reverencing the mighty God of who he is. Not just what he gave me today. I'll praise him for what he gave me today. But if I'm going to worship for who he is. In his holiness. In his purity. Are you following me tonight? But we're talking about, we're still on this becoming fully alive. Huh? Becoming fully alive. But there's always a problem, see, when it comes to worship. Isaiah 2:8 says, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. A lot of times that's where our worship is directed. What we do, not who he is. Huh? Matthew 15, verse 8, should be verse 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Are you following me tonight? This abundant life, the fully alive life, we must look at what we do with it. We are to worship. We didn't look at it. Now let's look at witness for a moment. All right, is everybody following me tonight? Now let's look at witness. All right, witness, to see or know by personal presence, to attest, to give testimony to testify to something, to bear testimony, to give evidence. That's what the word witness means. Now we're talking about living this life to the fullest. Everybody follow me? We're talking about living his life to the full. Everybody living his life to the fullest in worship. And then in witness. In witness. John 12, 10 and 11 says, but that this we started this series about Lazarus. Now look what it says. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Now we know, if you read ahead of that, that they were seeking to put Jesus to death. And now they said, let's put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, speaking of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Because of Lazarus. How many has believed because of us? How many have believed upon the Lord because of the change that Christ made in us? Christ made a wonderful change in Lazarus. Well, the change he made in us, they should be many believe the same, should they not? John 4, 39 through 42, speaking of Jesus and the woman at the well. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, speaking of Jesus, for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Many believed. They believed for because of what the woman said.
Yeah.
Right. Has everybody got that?
Yeah.
They believed because of what the woman said. Now, we're going to find here that some of them wouldn't believe the woman.
Right.
All right? But she made them think, so they run Jesus down to find out for sure. Huh? So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. There will be some that don't believe you. Huh? But if they see the change, they're going to go find out themselves. They're still going to get in. But we're going to have to be a witness. You follow that? Many believed because of what she said. Many wouldn't, but many did. But there were still many that went and found out for themselves and said, we've heard because of his own word. Now we believe. Are you following me? We're talking about us tonight. Mark 5, 18, 19 and 20 says, this is speaking of Jesus and the maniac of Gadara. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, which means 10 cities, not one town, but Decapolis, which means 10 cities. Okay? How great things Jesus had done for him. And look, and all men did marvel. They were just, wow. When's the last time somebody got wild over our life? When was the last time somebody got wild over the change that he made in us? When's the last time somebody wowed over our fully live life? Now listen, I'm telling you that it's available. I'm telling you it can be done. He's the same God now as he was then. It's the same work of the Holy Ghost. It's the same Christ that lives in me that lived in them people. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Christ. It's the same gospel, the same Bible. Huh? So we ought to be able to do it the same way. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. See, you don't have the power. You don't have the ability by your own. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. But, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You can be a witness. Can I tell you, our county needs us to be a witness. Our family needs us to be a witness. Our state needs us to be a witness. We're going to have to start. You say, well, I've done it before. Do it again. Do it every day. It don't matter if they like it. It don't matter if they don't speak to you. It don't matter what kind of bind it puts you in. It don't matter if it makes them uncomfortable. It don't matter if you're invited to parties or reunions or anything anymore. Nothing matters. But their lost soul, that they're damned and going to hell without Christ and without hope. And somebody's going to have to reach them. Amen. It's going to have to be us. It's going to have to be us. And there's nobody exempt from that. No one. If you're saved, you're not exempt. Hear me. You say, well, I can't talk to people. Yes, you can. If you can, because there's a power of the Holy Ghost in you. You can through Christ. Well, I'm bashful. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because you can talk about hunting and fishing and shopping and clothes and shoes and cows and motorbikes and four-wheelers and then we talk about everything. You might be bashful in a crowd. Well, don't witness in a crowd. Witness one-on-one. That way you're not intimidated. Are you following me? Talk to me. Listen tonight. We're going to have to witness. Huh? Here in the last year, man, I don't even know. I can't even keep track of how many funerals I've had. And these funerals that I've had, how many... Lord, how many people have I got to preach to? Huh? Man, I've preached to bunches. Huh? Bunches. Just here in the last few months, I've preached to bunches that never darken a church door. They've been people in this church that I know it's been 45 years since they've been to church. Huh? I know them. These people that I witnessed to, that I've been witnessing to some people since 1982 when I knocked on their door the first time on soul winning. Knocked on their door in 1982 and I'm still talking to them. But I can't let them quit. I can't let them go to hell. Huh? I'm not going to throw them away. I'm not going to give up on them. Huh? That's a long time. 1982 is a long time ago. Huh? I knocked on their door and they told me I don't want nothing to do with it. And I said, well, you'll go to hell then. And I go back to them and they say, I don't want nothing to do with it. And I say, and you'll go to hell then. And back and forth all these years, over and over and over. Huh? Multiple times in a year. Not once every few years, multiple times there. At times I get to do it multiple times a week. God will put them right in my face. Huh? They won't answer their door. They won't come to the door. They won't stop by the house. And God will put them in a store and round the corner and there they look at me and I say, yes. And I mean, I've said that out loud to them. I said, yes, good to see you. Their head hangs. Go ahead. Now tell them about Christ. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? 2 million Christians have been martyred since 2000. That's what's on the, that's what they have a record of if you look it up about martyrs. 2 million Christians. Roughly 13 people are killed every day in other countries simply because they follow Christ. China, India, Sudan, and Nigeria are the top countries of this. You can look it up. It's all public information. Okay? How did they know these people were Christians? It didn't say they killed church people. They killed people that was following Jesus. How'd they know? Undoubtedly because they're a witness. Will they come hunting you? Will they come hunting me? Will they, if they come to our country and start killing off Christians, will they come hunting us tonight? Or they will they drive on by? The abundant life and fully alive life, we must look at what we do with it. We're to worship, we're to witness, and then we're to wait. Wait is to stay or rest in expectation. To look watchfully. Huh? 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, He's coming. He's coming. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and wait. I'll just keep on worshiping, keep on witnessing, keep on waiting. Bobby Stout, preacher Bobby Stout, went to be with Jesus this morning. He's a preacher down in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Pastored a church down where Marcus is at 43 years. And he had to step aside because of health problems. He's 88 years old or so. Anyway, he went to see Jesus this morning. And great man. Me and Cheryl was down to see him in September. Went to the home. We drove up in the parking lot and we both started crying. The presence of the Lord was so strong in his driveway. No joke. We pulled in and I told Marcus, I said, man, we're going to have a good visit. And they was already, you could just feel the presence of the Lord. We went in, there he sat in his chair, his oxygen on. And I had preached that Sunday morning, or Sunday night down there, and then this was that Monday. And he looked, he said, oh, he's so kind. Oh Lord, what a sweet man. He said, oh, did you preach last night? Wasn't God good? And he started bragging on Jesus. That's all he did. One, he just sat there and just went to bragging on the Lord. What all the Lord had done down through the years. His wife took Cheryl over to the side and was bragging on the Lord to her. Here they are up in years, not able to do anything. Huh? Well, the last 2 weeks he's been laying down there in the bed. Marcus goes see him. He said, tell your dad. I said, hey. He said, hey, Marcus. He said, I'm getting ready to go. He said, I'm just waiting for my turn. And Marcus said he would do his hands. I'm just waiting for my turn. He got the phone there last week. Here he is dying. He got the phone. Told his wife, dial the number. And a woman come on the phone. He said, hey, he said, this Brother Bobby said, I'm getting ready to go to heaven, but I wanted to see if I could talk to you about the Lord because I've been trying to get you to believe on Him all these years. And I wondered, maybe today, wouldn't you like to trust Him today? She said, yeah, I think I will. And there on the phone, he led her to the Lord on the phone. And then his wife got the phone. She got on her and she said, now listen, you know what you did now. You better make sure you're right now. She put it on her pretty hard. She said, enough is foolishness now. There'll be a change in you. If Jesus come in, there'll be a change. She said, I trust you. I trusted Jesus. I tell you I did. Here he is dying and he was wanted the phone one more time. I'm telling you tonight. I'm telling you. Our people lost. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to. Huh? We're going to have to. the abundant life, the fully alive life. We must look at what we do with it. We're to worship, we're to witness, we're to wait on the Lord Jesus. Yeah, man. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Coming fully alive in 2025. See you Sunday.